is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. North Korea, David Maxwell, Vice President for Center for Asia Pacific Strategy. David, there is a story in VOA News that strikes me as unexpected. It has to do with two disparate hemispheres. One is North Korea, the Korean Peninsula, the darkness visible at night from satellites, all is dark. And the other is Cuba in the Caribbean, long an adversary of the United States. What this does, however, is it introduces another factor. The headline, Seoul's ties, the capital of South Korea, Seoul's ties with Havana seen as setback for Pyongyang. That sentence didn't end where I thought it was going to, David. What's happened?
I think that North Korea and South Korea may be playing Go, you know, the strategic territorial influence game, and the Korean name of Paduk. But, you know, we saw North Korea reach out or connect with Japan about possible high-level talks. And I think that both countries are in a way competing for influence. And we've seen, of course, since this connection between Seoul and Havana, that North Korea has started removing all references to Cuba from its propaganda. So I think there is this slight competition for influence. And I think it, obviously in the long run, South Korea wins that by a landslide.
Gordon, a very good day to you. I have a question for David.
David, when South Korea established relations with North Korea's friends, then I guess North Korea has to search elsewhere for support. And that would be probably Russia, maybe even China. Do you see Pyongyang's relationships with Moscow and Beijing hardening and getting better? Or do you think it'll have no effect at all?
I think they're improving quite a bit as of late, you know, than normal. I mean, they go up and down. Certainly, I think the Russia-Pyongyang-North Korea relationship has improved, with the recent visits, talks, and most importantly, the sending of ammunition from North Korea to Russia and the suspected technical help that Russia may be providing to North Korea on some of its advanced weapons. So I think there's been really significant improvement between Moscow and Pyongyang. I think the relationship with Beijing and Pyongyang, you know, is always just pretty much the same. And, you know, Beijing is most interested in maintaining stability on the Korean Peninsula while allowing North Korea to create dilemmas for South Korea and the ROK-US alliance. So I think there's a lot to this axis of totalitarians, but it remains transactional rather than truly ideological and friendship based like the alliances that the U.S. has. They're just not on the same level. But they are certainly marriages of convenience that are providing mutual benefits to each.
Many years ago, David, I recall discussing with Gordon and others a photograph of a freighter moving through the Panama Canal and on deck, visible, I believe, under tarp or something that made it not immediately recognizable, was a MiG aircraft. And the explanation at the time was that Cuba's MiG aircraft needed repair. So rather than bring the mechanics to Cuba, they were shipping the whole thing to North Korea, which was offering itself for cash as a mechanic for old MiGs. Now, that story may be, it's dim in my mind, but at the time I thought, well, North Korea is like the servant class, you know, like the chauffeur and the mechanic out in the garage for the estate. But now I'm rethinking this, that North Korea saw that relationship as diplomatic, Havana to Pyongyang, and now it's broken. Is that how Pyongyang sees this?
Well, it certainly appears that way. Its initial reaction that, with the discussions between Seoul and Havana, you know, it seems that Kim Jong-un is upset by that, and the Propaganda and Agitation Department have taken that action to remove references to Cuba from North Korean statements and propaganda. So I think that that they are upset by that. But I think that the MIG story that you're talking about, I think, is more of North Korea does whatever it can to make money, and I'm sure that they were making money. And you know, they're probably, when you think about it, they probably fly more the old MiGs than any other country in the world, and so they're probably the one of the few countries that has maintained the expertise on those old aircraft. So I'm sure that they were selling their services to make money, just as they proliferate weapons, their Scuds to the Houthis, and you know, their technical expertise to Hamas and Hezbollah for building tunnels. You know, they are mercenary when it comes to proliferation and doing whatever they can, particularly in the military realm, to make money for the regime.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Dave, do you think South Korea and Cuba can actually build relations, or is this more of a public relations stunt?
I think it's probably more of a public relations issue. I think that, you know, I think it's probably an attempt by South Korea, again, on the diplomatic chessboard or go board. It's probably low hanging fruit that they can engage with Cuba without much, you know, without really any blowback. I doubt the U.S. will get really upset about anything, and I doubt that South Korea is going to benefit very much from Cuba, except maybe some a Caribbean vacation location for South Korean citizens. But I think it is more probably to try to poke North Korea and really play a global, you know, the global go game and on the chessboard.
The axis of resistance. That is Moscow, Beijing, certainly, Tehran, yes, and Pyongyang. Havana is assumed to be a junior partner in the axis of resistance. This mixes up the sides, David, in a helpful way. Is Seoul aware of the fact that along with Cuba comes the usual Russian ability to steal and manipulate and influence?
Yes, I'm sure South Korea is pretty sophisticated, but I think that, you know, I don't think there's much really to worry about for South Korea. I think they're certainly not going to be trading in advanced technology and military, anything like that. And I would also take issue with using it axis of resistance. We should use resistance to resist totalitarianism, to resist communism. We should call it the axis of evil, the axis of dictators, the axis of totalitarianism. But we should not let these totalitarians usurp the word resistance, when that is really the people of those countries really own the word resistance to resist those dictators. So I always take issue with any of the press that are using the axis of resistance. We need to own that, and the oppressed people need to own that to resist these dictators.
David Maxwell is vice president of the Center for Asia Pacific Strategy. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Maxwell.